For breakfast.
All right. Well, unfortunately, the addiction to drugs is one of those things that's got many parents, including myself, of young children, very concerned these days because it has no discrimination. It doesn't discriminate amongst age groups, ethnicity, religious groups, or even wealth. And it is great to have people who are willing to tell their story of how things unfolded and then the recovery process through organisations like our very own Sunrise Way. One of those is Dan Holley. He told his story last Friday morning at their Sunrise Way breakfast, and he joins us this morning to do exactly that. Good morning to you, Dan.
Good morning.
Wonderful of you to do this. Very brave of you to be able to stand there and tell your story the way that you did. And your journey of addiction, starting when you moved to Brisbane, is one that I'm sure many young people might relate to.
Yeah, for sure. Like when I moved to Brisbane, I got into a circle of friends, and it was quite popular to take drugs. No one shamed me or looked down on me, and that's how my drug addiction started. You know, I was having a lot of fun and meeting new people and trying new things. But what I didn't realise is that I woke up one day being an addict.
And to you, how quickly did that unfold? I mean, you started just taking it on the weekends for a bit of fun, I'm assuming, you know, going to nightclub, whatever it might be. How quickly did it then turn into 7-day-a-week addiction?
Oh, it took about like 6 months to a year. Mm. You know, I needed the weekend would go, and then I needed something to go to work with on the Monday and then Tuesday and then so on and so on. It was pretty crazy how quickly it got me, you know.
And then life really just falls apart because you're so addicted to the drug that everything else takes a back seat, I'm assuming.
Oh, that's right. I was a bit too fried, they say, to go to work and then to deal with life too.
So you make the decision to move to Toowoomba, and thankfully you find Sunrise Way. How important is a facility like that in an area like this?
Well, Sunrise Way saved my life. You know, the team there just really, really care. And I always say about Sunrise Way, it's not it's not a rehab, it's a home, you know, and a family. And I've built so many connections, healthy connections, at Sunrise Way. And I wish people out there who want help go to a rehab, because it's not only works on your addiction, but on how to deal with life every day.
And as you say, it's not necessarily, you know, a straightaway fix. You actually checked yourself out about halfway through your first program, and thankfully you were convinced to come back and have another go, and you end up coming out clean, which is just sensational.
Oh, it is. Like, I did do the first faith and I thought I was right to go, but sadly mistaken, I relapsed. And But they really work with you above and beyond. Like, as soon as you leave, even if you're there for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks or something, they'll work with you, you know. And I knew when I came back what I had to do, and I'm doing the things what were suggested to me.
And what's life like for you now compared to then?
Oh, it's amazing, like the connections that I've got with my family, my friends, and, you know, I can live life now. Unlike before, like any pressures of life, I wouldn't know how to deal with them because I didn't know how to. But now I sit there and I process everything going on in my life, and I just love it. Like, I can have the ability to achieve things in my life. Yeah, recovery is possible if you want it, you know. So I'm glad that people like you are spreading the word, you know, because something needs to be done about it, you know.
Absolutely right. And unfortunately, as I said before, it's not something that's going to go away all that quickly as we deal with ICE and many other insidious drugs in amongst our regional areas right across Australia. And thank goodness we've got somewhere like Sunrise Way. Dan, thank you so much for your time this morning, mate.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you. Have a good one, mate.
Well, yesterday we saw the incredible story about how amazing our education facilities are and how sport for choice we are in particular here in the Garden City. And joining me on the line are a couple of the principals that were involved in that list, Adrian Wiles from Concordia and Marianne Walsh from Centenary Heights. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Lee. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning, Lee and Adrian, and good morning, listeners.
Now, I'll start with you, Marianne, because, I mean, a fantastic result for Centenary Heights High School. Always getting wonderful comments about the place over the years to me. And I guess what it highlights is that parents don't need to feel pressured into a private school education if it's not on the budget.
Right. One of the roles that I'm both privileged and pleasured to have is to join my colleagues in what is the Darling Downs Secondary Principals Association. So all of our schools, Catholic, independent and state, are represented when we meet every term. And so we are all great friends and great colleagues. And we understand very clearly, Lee, and I'm not just saying that for you or for your audience, but we understand very clearly what our professional and personal responsibility is to deliver so very well to students and families.
And obviously you're doing that because great result there with the OPs. And same for you, Adrian, with Concordia. And this is from the private school side of things. I mean, a fantastic result from Year 12 students. And I think it really highlights the education facilities that we have in this region. I mean, we are very much sport for choice.
That's right, Lee. As Marianne said, we work collaboratively across Toowoomba, and indeed the results just indicate the choice that we do have here in Toowoomba. But I guess the OP results are not the full story. We really find the full story coming out at this point in time, where we hear from our students from the class of 2018 and we understand where they're heading in 2019, and their pathways, whether it be academic or into trades or apprenticeships or into the workforce, are just amazing, really. All of a sudden, we find they're out in the wider world, and it's not only here in Toowoomba, but they move beyond Toowoomba and into other parts of Queensland and beyond, really. So it just indicates the quality of education that we do have here generally on the Downs.
Yeah, absolutely. Marianne, I guess one of the difficult things would be balancing that, you know, the education, but also all the life skills that, you know, our young people need as they're moving through those particularly senior years.
Totally correct. Lee, once again, I don't think there's any one of us in our roles, and certainly not in the teaching profession per se, who doesn't realise that we have to be on about the education of the whole child. And that includes understanding without being intrusive, making a really genuine effort to know the learner, how a child learns, what a child finds difficult, what turns a child's lights on, what things are like at home. Again, I say without being intrusive, because all of it adds up to the person who's in our classrooms every day. And unless we know that stuff, we can just think that we are doing a fantastic job and we're missing individuals, and we must not do that.
Absolutely. And I know, Adrian, you would agree that this would be the same for Marianne and her team, is that it is a team effort, that the effort that these teachers put in, the extra work outside of school, outside of the classroom, for the extracurricular activities like musicals and sport and all these things, it really goes a long way towards those results you were talking about.
That's right, Lee. I think over the years, the education scene has changed, and really, in many ways, schools have become the port of call for families generally. So now, I mean, we work closely with families and students, obviously, but also it goes down to grandparents and staff members and their extended families. So, you know, as Marianne's indicated, the role of an educator these days goes beyond just the classroom, goes beyond just the results. It's the offerings that we as communities are able to offer to families, and how we work closely with them, whether it be pastorally or in the areas of co-curricular or academics.
Well, I can say as a parent of both, I've got a primary school student and a high school student, we're very, very fortunate to have amazing people working in our education facilities like the both of you. Marianne Walsh, Centenary Heights High School, congratulations on your results. And Adrian Wiles of Concordia, thank you both for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Lee.
Thanks so much,
pleasure.
Lee. Thanks, Adrian. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Marianne.
All right, cleaning hacks. Nothing new for years. People have shared their little tips and tricks amongst each other at dinner parties and over the back fence. These days, of course, it's all done online. And in particular, a Facebook group called Mums Who Clean has a massive, massive following. And this is generated here in Australia, this particular one. And one of these cleaning hacks that's been added to this is now getting worldwide attention, and it's making news services all over the world. Now, if you've got men or boys or a combination of the two at your place, you would know when it comes to the toilet that blokes aren't necessarily the best aim. I blame how low the toilet. I think they should be built considerably higher to make aiming a much easier scenario. If you're teaching a young lad, I've got a 12-year-old turning 13. Oh dear, it's the hardest thing ever, would seem absolutely unbelievable. But don't despair, because this cleaning hack is being hailed as the cure-all for getting rid of that smell that gets into the bathroom because men aren't great at aiming. And it's as simple as a couple of dollar can of shaving cream. Yep. Forget about all of these, all your major cleaners with bleach and all this sort of stuff. One woman has posted this hint online saying that she covers her bathroom and around the toilet in particular with shaving cream, and posted a photo online, and it looks like a frat party's gone wrong. And then hundreds of people have then posted their photos of doing exactly the same. Now, I'm not sure if it's a G-up. I'm not sure if anybody's tried this. You could let us know, 13, 27, 10. But it just looks absolutely extraordinary. They have literally lathered as if they're ready to shave their bathroom all around the toilet area with shaving cream. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these photos. And people are absolutely amazed by it. You do it apparently before you go to bed at night. I've got to help you if you need to go in the middle of the night. You're probably going to go bunty up. But anyway, you get up in the morning and then you just simply wipe it off. No scrubbing, no nothing. You just wipe it off, and the smell and everything is all gone. And it's as clean as a whistle. And it's all just a couple of dollars can of shaving cream. No particular shaving cream, just a shaving cream, and that's it. Some people suggesting that they only leave it for 5 minutes and it works just as well. So there you go. There's a life hack for you, particularly for those households with plenty of young men in them, maybe even older men. Just some shaving cream will do the trick, according to this Facebook page. If you have attempted this, maybe you've seen it and you've had a go at it, 13, 27, 10, let us know if it actually did work. 14 past 7, you were... G'day, Jonathan, how are you?
Good, mate, good. I was just listening to the shaving cream.
Yes.
Look, a couple of years ago, I was reading the Reader's Digest. The cleaners in Germany in public bus stops got sick of the same things. You know what they've done? They've got toilets made now with little porcelain flies, insects.
Right.
Inside, and the guys can't resist trying to shoot them. And they reckon the mess has just fixed itself up.
No way. So this is at public toilets near bus stops?
Yeah, they said they got so sick of cleaning up, the drips, that they said guys can't resist the target, and there's no problem.
So little porcelain flies inside the toilet.
Yeah, by the way, mate, I wouldn't be asking them to build toilets up. It sounds like you're talking about, let's say, your shortcomings there
I'm no bragger, but,
Hey, on the cold winter's morning in North America, mate, I'm a sit-down guy, I tell you. You have
absolutely
a good day, Lee. Too much information.
You too, my friend. See you later.
See you later. Bye.
Bye, mate.
The shows, the stars, the glamour, the big wins, and the occasional fail. It's all in Lee's Entertainment Report on the Darling Downs 864 Triple M.
News today that entertainment giants Foxtel and Netflix will co-produce an Australian TV show for the first time, and that they've inked a groundbreaking deal that's expected to see Netflix shows and movies streamed on Foxtel boxes later this year. Along with that news, the second season of Foxtel's Logie Award-winning political thriller Secret City will be screened worldwide via Netflix, with two-time Academy Award nominee Jackie Weaver reprising her role. Foxtel today will launch a new advertising campaign to highlight its broadcast rights to every football code, NRL, Super Rugby and AFL, as well as Formula One and the supercars. And in a nice piece of marketing, the campaign will be set to Queen's hit song, I Want It All, a nod to the Oscar-nominated film Bohemian Rhapsody, which from today will be available to stream at any time via the Foxtel store. If you remember the days of the Laurel and Hardy movies, you're going to love this. Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly star in the Laurel and Hardy biopic Stan and Ollie. This film is set more than a decade after the comedy duo's Hollywood heyday. In 1953, they embarked on a UK reunion tour. Initially, sales for the tour were poor.
How do you feel about the size of the audiences?
I've been a little disappointed.
But they were far from down and out.
And they said, could you persuade Stan and Ollie to do some publicity in order to turn the tour around?
Would there be any more money?
They said no.
Well, who is they?
People. The worst kind.
And by the time the two reached London, they'd sold out a two-week season at a prestigious West End theatre. And that is when unresolved tensions come to the surface.
You betrayed me. Betrayed our friendship. I loved us.
You loved Laurel and Hardy, but you never loved me.
Stan and Ollie is a feel-good flashback and opens this Thursday. And mark your calendars, the date and location for the 2019 Logies has been announced. Australian TV's biggest night is set to take place Sunday, June 30, and just like last year, the 61st TV Week Logie Awards will return to the Star Gold Coast. Voting for the most popular awards categories will open Monday, March 4, and close at the end of the month. And this year, a new award has been introduced, Most Outstanding Reality Program, which will be decided by a panel of industry insiders. The 2019 Logie Awards will air on Channel 9, and that's the latest.
You cannot be serious!
Yes, I'm serious, and if you crave a simpler time when chocolate bars came in white milk or dark, maybe caramello or even old gold, then this latest collection by UK retail chain Fortnum & Mason is about to drag you into the 21st century. The department store offers customers the chance to peruse a chocolate library where each chocolate bar has a rather bizarre name and will set you back around $12.50 a bar. One is filled with champagne and titled The Obedience of Bubbles the Dog. Another made of dark chocolate is called The Descent to Darkness, while a third bar with milk chocolate and salted honeycomb is named The Peculiar Bees of Salt Bay. Yes, we've officially reached peak hipster pretentiousness. There's nowhere to go but up an avocado mountain wearing only a poached egg. And this new Chinese tourist attraction might make you lose your appetite. CNN reports that a hotel in China, as part of a Lunar New Year promotion, has kitted out one of its hot spring pools to resemble a steaming human hot pot. But instead of just cooking meat and vegetables in the bubbling bath, hungry guests can jump in and munch their way through too. The colourful culinary spectacle takes place in a rectangle-shaped bath separated into 9 compartments, each filled with one type of fruit or vegetable. Photos show guests devouring kebab skewers that run the length of the pool and packed with meat and veg, which they rip right off hands-free with their teeth. Oh, well, it is officially the year of the pig.
You cannot be serious!